Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. And this is the day that Michigan State basketball fans have been waiting on for what has been more than a year. Last year, we did not have the magic that is March Madness. We did not have an NCAA tournament, but now we do. And it's a bit unusual, but there are many things that have been unusual due to the COVID-19 pandemic, right? But I say it's a bit unusual because we normally don't see a Tom Izzo-coached Michigan State basketball team playing on the day of the first four. We don't normally see Tom Izzo and the Spartans playing what is a play-in game. But folks, those who followed this team throughout the year know that this right here, just being in the tournament for what is the 23rd straight season, it was a basketball miracle. This team was not a tournament team a little more than 2 weeks ago, but the way they finished the season, the upsets that they got over number one seeds in Illinois and Michigan, and a two seed in Ohio State, put them in the conversation to be here right now. Now, as I stated on yesterday's show, we can debate all day until the moon turns blue whether or not Michigan State should have just been seeded and not been in the first four, because the example that many people bring up is Syracuse. But at the end of the day, Spartan fans should just be grateful. And this will be very interesting. Very interesting because, you know, it's just a different experience for many different reasons. You know, I have a news report that, you know, if you tuned into Morning Edition, you guys heard. And you'll hear it also on All Things Considered with Sophia Salaby as well. But, you know, in my piece, I highlighted the tournament bubble and just how different that experience is. And it's going to be interesting to see how teams respond to that, because it's not your normal tournament. It's just not. You know, this will be a tournament that has teams that are isolated because of COVID-19, staying at hotels in which they have an entire floor to themselves, and they really can't go anywhere. One of the rooms on the floor where Michigan State is staying, and I would imagine it's like that for the other teams as well. But it's like a room where you watch film and you also eat. You have that room, and then you have your room. And that's it. That's it. But, you know, I'm just not too confident that we are going to get through the NCAA tournament without positive tests. With that amount of teams and teams personnel that travel along with the squad, I just don't see how it's possible. And I'm already seeing news concerning positive tests. I'm seeing right here, I mean, Oklahoma Sooners guard Davion Harmon. He's going to have to miss the Sooners' first two games of the NCAA tourney after testing positive for COVID-19. And what's interesting is that, okay, you see one player test positive, then you have to go back and contact trace to see, okay, what others have that player's had, you know, has that player had in contact with. You have to test those players immediately, and I would imagine that they have to, you know, self-isolate immediately. But right now, when it comes to, and you know, we're talking about a team. I mean, they've been traveling together, close interaction with one another as well. Now, when it comes to Davion, according to this report by Jeff Borzello of ESPN, no other players are in contact tracing, which leads me to kind of scratch my head. And again, everybody has to be honest and truthful here. Look, I'm not saying that, you know, Lon Kruger, head coach of Oklahoma, is not being truthful here, but I'm just emphasizing that you have to be truthful. I understand that you want to get these games in and you want to advance and do something special for your respective program. But at the end of the day, if you aren't truthful and you say that, yeah, all my other guys are good, it's just him, and you don't follow the proper protocol to make sure that everybody around that said player or around that said coach or around that said trainer is not infected with COVID-19, then you put a lot of people at risk and you put the tournament at risk, to be honest. Don't sacrifice trying to get by for what will, not could, but what will lead to a cancellation of games. It's always interesting for me, man. It's really interesting because I think we're going to see more stories like that of Oklahoma's. Now, Michigan State, UCLA. Play-in game tonight, 9:57. Just want to let you guys know, please get that coffee maker ready. Look, I'm naturally a night owl, all right? So I'm used to being up pretty late. So this late start time is nothing for me. You know, heck, on an average Thursday, I'm up watching my guys on Inside the NBA after the late game on TNT. So I'm used to it. But I know there are many listeners out there that are looking at that 10 p.m. start time and saying, what? Really? A few coworkers of mine reached out and said, what? Really? And, you know, they made Michigan State and UCLA the late start time, you know, as we talked about with Deshaun Tate earlier this week, because, you know, those are the two big names, and you want to end the first four with a bang. So why not have Michigan State and UCLA, two big-time names, two blue-blood programs, why not make that the late slate and make everybody stay up to watch it? So it makes total sense. Now, when it comes to the game, Spartans and Bruins for a chance to earn an 11 seed and to match up with BYU come Saturday night. I got a lot of questions about this game. I think that Michigan State, the line has moved just a bit. You know, it was at 1 and then moved to 1.5. And I believe now it's at 2. When looking at the sports book that I use, and I use I use DraftKings a lot. So I'm going to double check here right now, but I believe the line has moved to 2 for Michigan State. And I do believe that Michigan State should be favored to win in this game. No, Michigan State is the more proven team. Well, actually, wow, look at that. I'm looking here at DraftKings right now, and the line has actually moved further, just a smidget further than 2, to 2.5 now in favor of the Spartans. I do believe that Michigan State should be favored here, and I think the reason that they are, even though it's only by 2.5 points, is due to the fact that they closed out the season better than UCLA. Look, UCLA comes into this matchup limping. Losers of 4 straight games. Now, with that being said, I mean, the postseason is a different ball game, and those records kind of go out the window. However, I do believe that there is a bit of momentum that you can carry for teams who finish the season well into the tournament. It just gives you a little bit more confidence. Now, what I also want people to think about when looking at this year's tournament is, you know, the fact that due to COVID, a lot of, or I should say most, if not all, of the respective conferences out there decided to keep things in-house, didn't really play any non-conference matchups, and just played against guys within their conference because you wanted to limit the travel so that you limit your possible exposure to COVID-19, which I totally understand. So you got a lot of teams that have just been playing within their respective conference, beating on other teams within their respective conference. And look, let's be real. Every conference has a certain style of play. So everybody has been playing in their respective conference. What's going to happen now when you have these cross-conference matchups in the NCAA tournament bubble? And just how shocking will it be for certain teams out there? Gotta really watch that closely. Gotta really watch that closely. Because it can really come to bite certain teams around this time of the year. You know, I don't think you pretty much have to worry about some of the big dogs out there, you know, like the Gonzagas of the world. Heck, even the Michigans of the world, even though Michigan is losing Isaiah Livers, right? And we'll get to that on tomorrow's show when we prep for, you know, its matchup. You know, after we find out who they will play after the first 4 games are in the books. But, you know, when you have so much talent and you are ranked in that top 5, top 10, you know, I think you are good. You've got talent on that roster that, you know, when it comes to those cross-conference matchups, you shouldn't have too many problems. However, this is the NCAA tournament, and matchups are everything. They truly are. You know, and on an average year, you can get bit when you come across a squad that just matches up very well against you. I don't need to bring up Middle Tennessee State, do I? I don't need to go there, do I? So you have to just kind of have, when you talk about the tournament, you have to have your head on a swivel. You have to do as much preparation as you can and really lean on that scouting report. And Tom Izzo, you know, I've seen Tom Izzo work around this time of the year, and I've been evaluating that for years, and it is truly remarkable. You know, Tom Izzo does not leave any stone unturned. Izzo and his coaching staff of Dwayne Stevens and Mike Garland, you know, Dan Fife, those guys go to work around this time of the year. And it's remarkable to watch. So, you know, when it comes to UCLA, you know, this is what the starting five is going to look like. You know, UCLA, they finished the season on a four-game losing streak. They finished 17-9 overall. You're going to have Tiger Campbell, who actually is a former Izzo recruiting target. You know, he is the orchestrator for this team. He is the point guard for this team. He's a leader. He's got great passing ability. He communicates well out there on the floor. He dictates pace for the Bruins out there. And they don't have a true big. I mean, so Tiger Campbell at 5'11", he is, you know, he's that guy. You're going to hear his name called a lot. He is the point guard. He is the quarterback of the Bruins. Then you have Johnny Juzang at 6'6", a sophomore at the two. You've got Jules Bernard, 6'6", junior at the three. Jamie Jacquez, 6'6", sophomore at the four. And then you've got Cody Riley, a 6'9", junior at the five. They don't have a true big. Riley is probably the most important big man for UCLA. And really, you know, Juzang at the two and Riley at the five, they are the two primary offensive players. But again, they're not prolific. You know, they are okay. They're not guys that are going to make you, you know, turn your head. But again, it's all dictated and it all runs through Tiger Campbell, who does a pretty good job of facilitating the basketball. They space the floor out. This is the scouting report on UCLA. UCLA really spaces the floor out, and they shoot the ball pretty well. They have five good to really good three-point shooters in David Singleton, who is shooting at 46%. Then you have Jules Bernard shooting at 40.5%. Jacquez is shooting at 37.8%. Juzang at 34.5%. And also you've got Jake Kyman, who is the backup small forward at 6'6", he's a sophomore, shooting at 32.6%. So these are all players in Singleton, Bernard, Jacquez, Juzang, and Kyman who shoot the three ball at 30% or better. That's what you have to really hone in and look at in this game, in which UCLA could cause some problems for Michigan State. You got to guard the three-point line. And that comes down to the defense of the guards on this team. Guys like Rocket Watts, Aaron Henry, Joshua Langford, those guys have to close out on those shooters, or else they can really kill you from the three-point line. I mean, Singleton shooting 46%. Bernard at 40. I mean, that's pretty amazing. They don't rely on going inside. So cause disruption at the three-point line. So they're going to hoist a lot of three-pointers, I think. But look, that's just not what a Mick Cronin team does. He's not just going to just hoist threes all day. They play a very slow-paced game. Actually, there's a ranking out there that says that UCLA is ranked as the 300th and 32nd team. Number 332 in the nation in terms of pace of play. So expect a turtle-like game for UCLA. If the game is going at a slow pace for much of it, heck, I wouldn't be surprised if UCLA has the upper hand in this matchup. So pay close attention to that. They move the ball. They don't turn it over. Are pretty comfortable in the mid-range game as well. And they will attack the rim when the matchup allows. And again, they don't have a prolific inside game. So, you know, like I've been saying, man, that there is a lot of meat on this bone for the Michigan State bigs. Marcus Bingham has to be big. Julius Marble has to be big. Malik Hall, Madi Sizoko, those guys have to come out and really assert themselves down low. So, you know, this team is not going to be an easy out. That's why you only see a 2.5-point line for Michigan State. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Michigan State is so inconsistent. That can't happen right now. Inconsistency will send your butt back to East Lansing. That's what we're talking about when you talk about March Madness and the NCAA tournament. That's what will happen. And I'm curious, for one player in particular, I'm curious to see how he responds now and whether or not he can take his game to another level. We saw it during one performance in that final stretch of games for him, but Rocket Watts has to be better. This will be the first ever NCAA tournament game for Watts. We really wanted to see him perform last year. It seemed as though things were starting to click right at the right time for Rocket. As Michigan State won a piece of that Big Ten championship pie last year, and then, of course, COVID happened and canceled the tournament. So this is the first opportunity that we get a chance to see Mark Rocket Watts under the Big Dan's lights. And he's got to perform, because I think that it's becoming so obvious now. It is obvious now, not becoming, that Aaron Henry is the guy. He is the driver of this Michigan State car right now. Michigan State goes when he goes. It's pretty obvious. Teams know that now. Heck, we saw that in the game against Maryland in the Big Ten tournament. Didn't have a good game, but when Aaron Henry does not have a good game, when he doesn't score like 16 points, Michigan State usually loses the game. So somebody else has to step up. Josh Langford, you know, coming back from the injury, it's up and down with him. Sure, he's hit some big shots throughout the year, but I mean, I don't think you can really rely on him to be that second guy. I think that second guy has to be Rocket. Especially when you are playing one of the most, if not the most, important position on a Tom Izzo coach team. Because great Tom Izzo coach teams have great point guards. And Rocket Watts is the starting point guard for this team. We experimented with A.J. Hogarth for a minute, even Foster Lawyer for a minute. Foster Lawyer, who's out now. His season's done with that shoulder surgery. But Rocket is clearly the guy. And he's got to step his game up. And I'm not going to let another guy off the hook in Gabe Brown. Because Gabe Brown has so much potential. This is when he has to raise his game as well. So those are really the two players for me that I will be looking at. And I'm excited to see if these Michigan State players can mature at this point, because I am sure, as Michigan State has been prepping for this game, he has been emphasizing how the margin of error is so slim. So, so slim. So Rocket and Gabe got to bring it up. Joey Hauser has also struggled. You know, the junior transfer. You know, he recently, though, to close out the year, he started to find a bit of his swag a bit, you know, in a bench role. I want to see him continue that. You know, Malik Hall. You know, I mentioned those big guys, you know, Malik Hall and Bingham and Sissoko and Marble. Those guys have to be men down low. And look, if they are, and if they can take advantage of that weak spot in UCLA's game, I mean, we may see, I said may, I don't think we will, but we may, if the bigs come and show up and show out, we may see Michigan State extend a big lead in this game and possibly hold it down. I don't know. But those bigs have to be big. But if there is anything that I'm worried about in this game, it's the shooting of UCLA. That is the big area of concern for me. The guards have to defend the three-point line. At the end of the day, though, I am going with Michigan State to win this game. I'm going to say 68-64, the final. What say you? 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Would love to hear from you. And how will you be enjoying the big game tonight? Are you gathering, hopefully vaccinated? With other members of your family or friends? Are you trying to hit a bar or a restaurant to check out the big game tonight? You know, with a 10 o'clock start, I don't know how many places are, or even if they can stay open late. I don't know what the protocol is with closing times for bars and restaurants right now. Of course, there is a capacity still. You know, you can't have a full capacity room for this game, but you know, how excited are you for tonight? Because I tell you what, I am very, very excited. There is nothing like watching Michigan State on your television around this time of the year. Okay, so what I want to do right now is hit our first break, and when we come back, I want to play for you a bit of the press conference this week, not from Tom Izzo, but I want you to hear what Joshua Langford had to say, as well as Aaron Henry, as we prep for the big game tonight. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Thursday NCAA Tournament, Michigan State UCLA edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and what I want to do right now is play for you a bit of what Joshua Langford and Aaron Henry had to say this week inside of the NCAA tournament bubble in Indiana as Michigan State gets ready to play UCLA around 10 p.m. on TBS. Inside of Mackey Arena in West Lafayette. Here is what Aaron Henry and Josh Langford had to say.
Hey, Josh, I know that congratulations for being in the field. I'd imagine that being in the first four, though, probably wasn't the thing that you guys were hoping for. I guess, how do you use that now as motivation? And with the tired legs that you guys maybe had towards the end, how do you kind of regenerate now for the second season?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, Chris, is that we got an opportunity And so at the end of the day, that's all we can ask for. And so we have to take advantage of that opportunity, and we have to make the choice as a team. You know, it has to be a collective decision that, you know, we all going to give 110% because, you know, it's win or go home now. But the fact of the matter is we have opportunity, and can't nobody take that from us. And so we just have to use that to the best of our ability.
As a follow to that, is there an advantage for you guys knowing that you're either going to be in Bloomington or at Purdue, having played at both venues relatively recently? I mean, do you carry any sort of advantage into this game with that?
I'm sure that possibly could be some advantage just because, like you said, you know, we're kind of familiar with that place. Familiarity does, you know, give you some type of comfort. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're just going to come in and just try to do the best that we can and play, you know, to the best of our ability.
Our next question will go to Kyle Austin.
Josh, just wondering where your kind of personal excitement level is at. I mean, you haven't played an NCAA tournament game in a couple of years. I would imagine that was a part of you wanting to come back is just to play in this. Now that it's official, what is kind of the excitement level for you to play in this event?
Say that. Can you say that last part again?
I said, what is kind of the excitement level for you personally to play in this event after not, you know, being able to do it for the last 2 years?
Oh, it's great, man. It's great. You know, like you said, I haven't been able to play, you know, in the last 2 years. And so, you know, to be able to come back and not play in 2 years and be able to have an opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament, you know, that's a second to none opportunity. So, you know, I'm just going to make the best of it.
Our next question, we'll go to Brendan at the Impact.
Hey, Josh, I know the news is pretty fresh about you guys taking on UCLA in the first four in. Have you gotten to watch UCLA at all this year? They're coming off of four straight losses. How do you feel about that matchup for you guys in the first game?
Definitely haven't got to watch them as much. But, you know, with the way that we prepare and the way our coaching staff, you know, goes about getting us ready to play against teams, we'll definitely, you know, have a great you know, great background of information on them so that we may be able to go out and play, you know, to the best of our abilities and, you know, not be in the dark about, you know, who they are and their tendencies and the things that they're like. So, you know, haven't got to see them play, but, you know, our coaching staff, they do an unbelievable job of helping us get prepared. So.
Next question, we'll go to Stephen Brooks.
Hey, Josh, could you just sort of paint a picture of what it was like watching the selection show? Were you guys all together? And I mean, when it goes into the last bracket and about midway through that for Michigan State to pop up, were you getting nervous at all? Were you worried? I mean, what just emotionally, what was it like? And like literally, what were you guys doing? What was sort of the setting?
Yeah, I mean, we were just sitting down and watching as a team. And, you know, emotionally, you know, of course, you know, even if, you know, you have a, you know, somewhat of an even better season than us, emotionally, you're still going to be up and down because, you know, it's just the emotion would come into watching the selection show. You know, when you're a team that's looking to get picked, you know, those emotions are definitely going to be high. But, you know, like we all said collectively, and like I just said, you know, to answer Chris, when I asked answered Chris' question earlier, you know, we're all thankful that we have the opportunity. And so, you know, at the end of the day, that's all we can ask for. And so everybody was just, okay, we have the chance. Now let's go make the best of the opportunity that we have. Because everybody didn't get to hear their name called. So,
Right. When Michigan State pops up on the screen, what was going on in that room?
Like, you know, like I just said, you know, everybody was grateful. Everybody was locked in. We have a chance to make a great run in this tournament and do some great things. So, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, all we can ask for is opportunity. And we got it. And, you know, that's everybody's mindset.
Thank you.
Yep.
And our last question for Josh comes from Paul at The Only Colors.
Hi, Josh. Congrats again on getting the team to the extending the streak of the NCAA tournament bid. I know that the schedule this week has been unusual. I think you guys are still somewhere in the state of Indiana. And of course, you're going to be staying there. So how does this change in schedule impacted the way you guys practice or prepare for this tournament? And what have you guys been doing over the last couple of days?
The schedule definitely has been, you know, it's been different, you know, from what we're used to. You know, as of right now, we haven't got any, you know, detailed information on what's, you know, next for us. I'm sure within the next few minutes or next hours or so, we would get, you know, full understanding of what we're going to be doing in terms of practice and preparation and all those different things. So, you know, it's definitely different. But at the end of the day, I think one thing this team has done a pretty good job of is you know, dealing with having to make adjustments, you know, on the fly, you know, with the schedule that we had, you know, those few weeks that we had to, you know, prepare as much as we did. So, you know, at the end of the day, I know that our coaching staff is going to get us prepared. We just have to go execute.
I mean, he carries a lot of weight on himself, but I mean, it's something to see. You know, my freshman year, we go to a Final Four. Last year, we won a Big Ten championship, and the season gets cut short. And this year isn't the year we all expected. But you know, he's been the same in preparation and how he approaches things. And, you know, that's the type of coach that he is, the type of person he is, and you know, it's a testament to what this program has become over the years. And you know, it's why he, you know, he's a good coach, man. And I'm glad I'm in a position to always be able to ride with him, knowing he's going to give me 100% every time.
Right. Real quick follow-up. Is there something about the March Madness brand when you see it? Does it kind of trigger you in a positive way because you know you're playing in the tournament compared to being in the Big Ten tournament or in the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, dog. It's a dream for every kid that's watched basketball since they were young. You know, everybody's, you know, had their own specific unique dreams and whatnot, but I just watched any game that I could, you know, whether it was a 1 or 16 or of course the closest games and of course the Final Four, man. Just it's a good day for fans of basketball, but it's a better day to be playing in it.
Great. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Our next question comes from JoJo Gentry at Fox 59 and CBS 4 there in Indianapolis, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron, describe how you're feeling about playing the entire NCAA men's basketball tournament here, not just in your home city of Indianapolis, but your home state of Indiana.
It means a lot to me, something that I won't forget. And, you know, it's just, I don't think it's ironic that it's happened this way for me in the situation that has been in. And, but, you know, I'm really excited to just be in my hometown, to just play in gyms that I've played in before. You know, it's a unique year. You know, my parents get to come still, and even with everything going on, and you know, it's just really exciting for me. You know, it's my mom and my dad talk about it a lot. You know, and it means a lot to my family.
The next question will come from Kyle Austin, followed by Matt Charbonneau.
Aaron, we talked a lot, obviously, towards the end of the season of how many games you guys had close together and the challenge of doing that. Is it a separate challenge, making sure you're up after getting a bunch of time off? I mean, do you have to think about staying prepared and being ready to come out strong on Thursday?
Absolutely. You know, we get some time off to rest a little bit and without those games that we had back-to-back-to-back. But at the same time, you know, Coach has been in plenty of these situations before. It's our job to listen to him and the preparation that the staff puts before us. And we have to be good in that area. But every game is a challenge. Every situation is a challenge. And we have to come prepared with an open mind, ready to learn, ready to play.
Matt?
Yeah. Aaron, obviously you've played in this tournament one time and you got to a Final Four, didn't get to play last year. But what was it about that team, you know, the makeup of that team, the character of that team that was allowed you to get there? And do you feel like there's anything similar in this group of guys? Not so much, you know, on the court, but just kind of your mental approach and the makeup of you guys.
That team was one of a kind for sure. But we still have some experience and pieces that have seen the right way to do things and seeing how to get there. And we hope to take it nothing but farther this time. You know, things haven't gone the best way this year throughout the regular season and even in the tournament, the Big Ten tournament. But it's a new day. It's a new season. That's how we're going to approach it. You know, we have to all be willing to go to different places this year with our play, with how we approach things and continue to follow Coach Izzo throughout this way.
Have you been talking to some of the younger, I mean, sophomores and freshmen that haven't been through this to kind of understand what it's like playing in the tournament?
Well, absolutely. You know, just trying to express that my bads have to go. We don't have time to say, oh, this is my fault. This is my fault. This is my fault. We'll end up me going home in my hometown. You know, I don't want to make it like that personal like that, but this is their freshman year too. This is one of their four, maybe out of 4 years they'll get. And it means a lot more than just me, you know, but hopefully they understand that this 4 years or however long they're going to be here will go by so fast, and you have to take advantage of each time.
The next question comes from Jaina at the State News.
Hey, Aaron, when we were talking to Coach just a little bit before this, he mentioned on your trip up to Mackey today for practice, it felt nice to be in Big Ten country. Did you feel that at all? And how was practice up there on like a March Madness court?
It was cool. You know, they did a nice job with the arena, you know, and the overall production that the NCAA, you know, did and put together for us was really, you know, it was really thought out and it was really well put. So I give them a lot of credit for that. But, you know, just being able to be in an area that we are familiar with, I don't want to say it gives us the leg up or anything like that, but, you know, definitely some territory that we know. The floor feels like we know, you know, and just any area you could be comfortable in and that you know is just, you'll feel better about yourself and feel better about preparation. It's just a different feel. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you could say that, but we still have to come ready to play.
Next question, we'll go to Stephen Wino.
And kind of have your team in it. But I'm curious, as a kid, did you ever kind of pretend you were in that song, hitting a buzzer beater or anything like that, playing outside or playing on the playground?
I only heard the end of the question. I didn't hear the beginning.
No, just the One Shining Moment song. Did you ever kind of imagine yourself in it as a kid?
I didn't. I didn't find out about that till college, honestly. You know, that hurts for some people to know, but, you know, it's just the truth. But, yeah, I mean, now that I saw it after my freshman year, it'd be nice to get a highlight or two in there. But more importantly, it'd be nice to get a ring.
Next, we'll go to Stephen Brooks, followed by Dalton Shetler.
Hey, Aaron, you guys played UCLA just last year. I'm curious how you saw them change or develop since then, and you know, do they remind you of when you watch them, anybody that you played this year or throughout the Big Ten? Are there any similarities to, you know, teams that you're a little more familiar with?
They have some guys that are close to the same height but are versatile. They can score from a variety of places. They run good sets. They cut hard, man. They just, you know, we had to come prepared to play. Understand that, you know, they switch sometimes on defense and they create matchup problems on offense, but it's just about, you know, what type of basketball game are we going to play? Are we going to play Michigan State basketball or are we going to just go out there and not perform like we should? You know, and that's what it comes down to. And I mean, they present a lot of problems for a lot of people, but we have to come ready to play.
Style or personnel-wise, would you compare them to anybody you played this year already?
No, sir. I don't really have a good comparison for them. I feel like they're their own team.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Dalton Shetler, followed by John Nile.
Hey, Aaron, I know we've talked a lot about that Final Four run from a couple years ago that you were a part of, and we talked about you being from the state of Indiana, but you were able to lead a team, a Ben Davis team in Indiana, to a state championship your junior year, and had that classic against Castle back then during that time. Is that something you think about? You relive some of those high school memories as you make this tournament run again in the state of Indiana?
Absolutely. Something I refer to as well. You know, not only that, but of course the Final Four and just, you know, just any time you have success winning, you know, you hold that to a premium and a different standard. You know, you feel like you know how to do it. And combine that with the coaching staff and a coach that, you know, understands it and has done it for longer than I've been alive. You know, it's you're getting the best of both worlds, I feel like. And I'm more than willing and more than ready to help lead this journey onto to what I hope to be. A memory making one for sure, but you know, those memories that I've had, you know, definitely help and definitely, you know, I've seen it, you know, I've seen it in how to win and what it takes.
Next we'll go to John Nile.
Hey Aaron, I just wonder what's the best and worst part so far about bubble life there, whether it's food, no roommate, all that stuff?
The Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is, oh my goodness. Yes, I brought my game. Sometimes I like to play it. Sometimes when I just have some downtime just to get my mind off of things. And it's not the best. You know, hopefully it can improve over time. But, you know, I'm here to win games. You know, I'm really not here to complain. I've been through worse situations before.
All right, again, life inside the tourney bubble, folks. All right, again, that was Josh Langford and Aaron Henry on tonight's matchup and the preparation that has been UCLA for Michigan State. Again, big game tonight, 9:57. on TBS, Mackey Arena, West Lafayette, Indiana. The big dance is back. Let's hit our final break. I'll have final thoughts after this final break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We've been talking about the big game that is tonight, Michigan State and UCLA, pretty much all hour. There have been some other very big stories as well. This whole Deshaun Watson story, I don't really know what to make of it. We just gotta let it play out. But the Houston Texans quarterback that is Deshaun Watson, he has been accused of sexual assault in a third civil lawsuit. You know, it's a wild accusation that, you know, we'll see if it's true or not as it plays out. But yeah, the lawsuits are starting to not just become one, but now multiple. When it comes to his interaction with massage therapist. So that has been very shocking, and that has been really the lead story nationally in the world of sports. I also saw a very troubling story concerning Sean Bradley. You know, Sean Bradley was a basketball player back in the day. I remember him from the 90s. Really, I remember him, you know, growing up, and he was even in the Space Jam movie, I believe, with Michael Jordan back in the day. You know, former 7'6" Maverick center. It's being reported that he's now paralyzed after being struck by a vehicle while riding his bike in January. Just so sad. It was reported that he was riding his bike about a block from his house, and he was hit from behind by a vehicle. The accident left Bradley with a traumatic spinal cord injury that left him paralyzed. So he underwent neck fusion surgery, and he was hospitalized 8 weeks and has been undergoing rehab. So his wife has been at his side around the clock. Really, really sad stuff. And we send thoughts and prayers to Sean Bradley and his family. But that was very tough news to read. So just a lot of just really troubling stories this week, folks. So I am certainly glad that the NCAA tournament is going to shine a lot of light into all of our lives tonight, right, Michigan State fans? And I want you to enjoy the game. We are going to recap it all. I plan on having Deshaun Tate of Tate's Take Hoops back on the show tomorrow to talk about what transpires in the first four and specifically what transpires between the Spartans and Bruins. We'll have a full recap, folks. But until then, we are on a 23-hour break. I want you all to be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.
Ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. In all the years, no one knows just how hard you worked. But now it shows.